Good morning. Would you stand? Let's worship the Lord together on this beautiful Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Our God will reign forever, and all the world will know his name. Everyone together, sing the song. Jesus, you are the only way, my Savior lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what he did, my Savior lives. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are.
You that you do live, that you are alive and well and seated in heavenly places, making intercession for us here on this earth. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon this service this morning. We pray you keep your hand upon everything that is said and done. We commit the service to you. We commit ourselves to you on this day in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to have all of you here today. If you're a guest today, fill out a card that's located on the back of the chair in front of you and put it in the offering there in just a moment. It's good to have all of the kids here today, all of our kids this morning. If you're a kid and you're normally in children's church, would you stand? All the kids who are normally in children's church. Yeah, several. All right. Give them a hand this morning. They get to be in big church, in big church. We do this four times a year. Whenever there's a fifth Sunday, it gives our workers a break, and it gives our kids a chance to sit in big service and be in there with mom and dad, and all the parents love that. No, you should. There is not that many times that you get to sit together as a family. So I think it's really, really important. And so we're glad to have all the kids here today. Thank you for everyone who helped with Hallelujah Night. We had a tremendous amount of people that was in our building. This place was jam-packed on Thursday night. So thank you to all who came and helped and worked and vacuumed and gave candy and worked a booth and made posters and directed traffic. It was a traffic nightmare out in front of the parking lot out here, in front of the church. In the parking lot, but we had some great people helping us, and so what a great time and great outreach to our community. Tonight is fan night, meaning family activity night. There will not be service here. Do something special or different with your family. We do also do that four times a year. Whenever it's a fifth Sunday, we will have family activity night. So it's not just a normal night. Well, we're not having service. Do something out of the ordinary. Make a memory with your children or with some other family. Get together and do something. And so that is this evening. And then next Sunday is our water baptism service. If you would like to be baptized, there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. Bring a change of clothes, dark clothes, and a towel, and we will have a water baptism service at the end of the service. We're also going to have an illustrated service sermon next Sunday. It's called The World's Greatest Scarecrow. And so we're going to have that next Sunday. Invite people to come and be with us, and we're going to give an altar call and believe God to save some people's lives and save their souls and get people ready for heaven. Amen. So it's a great service to bring somebody, invite your friends and neighbors, and if you're being baptized, invite your family and those to come to see you be baptized in water. What a great witness to them. So at this time, our deacon board would like to take a few moments. And so let's give it up for Michelle and Tim. And I don't know if Doug, I think Doug's working today. But anyway, we appreciate our church board.
Well, thank you. I'm going to ask all the pastors and their wives to come. That way you can stare at them while we talk. You know what? This Pastor Appreciation Day kind of snuck up on me. Even October kind of snuck up on me. So I wasn't quite as prepared as I usually like to be. And I kind of prayed before I went to sleep last night and just said, hey, God, I need some help tomorrow. I don't know what I need to say or what you want me to talk about. And I woke up about 3 o'clock this morning, and the word shepherd just appeared in my mind. And I thought, okay, you want me to talk about them, the fact that they're a shepherd. And like Pastor Steve always does, now I forgot what it's called. Acrostic. Thank you. He uses acrostic. So I think we did pastor last year. So this year it's shepherd. And Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I think we have some wonderful shepherds at this church. who are definitely after our hearts. They want us to live in heaven with them. We can go and visit each of them in their mansions someday. And they feed us with knowledge and understanding. And not just with the adults, but they also feed our youth and they feed our kids. And I'm just so appreciative that we have such wonderful pastors here.
So to get started with her acrostic here, we have shine for S. It says Matthew 4:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And each of these pastors and their wives and families are doing such an amazing job of letting their light shine to our kids, our youth, or the congregation as a whole and this community.
So honor is for H. It's 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brother, fear God, and honor the emperor. I guess we could say that's Pastor Steve. But, yeah. But he is our head shepherd, so we want to honor him, and they honor us as well. And I think that's a great show of a pastor, is how they interact with their sheep. And I know that you get honor by showing it. And they are great great examples of how to honor their members. And I know you guys do a great job of showing honor back to them. So I, as a deacon, just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for honoring them.
And E for encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And like I said, they do such a great job of encouraging each other whenever we go through troubles and trials. They're there for us to stand up and help us to have someone to lean on and be there for us.
They're patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And if you've ever been on a board meeting, they really have to be patient with us, because sometimes we can be kind of insistent and maybe vocal in our thoughts and opinions, but they're very patient. They listen to what we have to say, and they take that into heart. I know that they do that as well with each of you, that when you have something that's going on in your life that you want to talk about, and they may be really, really busy, but they will take time out and just spend the time that they need to minister to you, and just to be the wonderful, wonderful shepherds that they are.
H, the other H, honest. Luke 8:15, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. That's one thing I love about this church, is the fact that they share the word with honesty. They share the whole word. They don't hold anything back, and we appreciate that.
Example, it's Philippians 3:17. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And, you know, not every pastor can you follow their example. But I can tell you that even their wives up here, they set such a great example for not only us, but for our kids.
And R, rejoice. 2 Chronicles 6:41, and now arise, O Lord God, and go to your resting place. You in the ark of your might, let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in your goodness. They're just an example of how to rejoice in the Lord and stuff, and praise in the Lord, whether through singing, which pastor is amazing doing, and whatever Pastor Phil does, I'm not sure. But they do such a great job of being examples of us and leading us through the rejoicing.
And Kelly as well. And we have Carol comes up and helps. And even Amanda sometimes gets to help us on the praise and worship team. Chad and Phil, we're going to let them slide, I think, because they both say no. But they do. They do show us. But they rejoice. I see Pastor Phil, I'm kind of taking over Tim's thing, down here rejoicing with us and participating whenever we're leading worship. So that's always great and awesome. And Chad, I know over with the kids, I bet you're up there rejoicing. I don't go over there, but I can bet you're doing an awesome job as well. You've seen him dancing. Okay, so we can rejoice in the Lord in different ways. So the last letter is declare. So Luke 8:39, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus has done for him. And they declare God's word. They go out and tell how good God has been in their lives, how much God has done for them, just as we should, and following their example, going out and telling everyone how great and how awesome God is, and how he has done many things in our lives. And these men and women of God up here and their children are such a blessing, I know, to my family. And that's really, you know, the best thing I can do is tell you how they impacted me. And each of you, I'm sure, have taken the time to let them know how much they've impacted you. But there are times that their names are brought up in my household. Kira will say, Pastor Chad, she loves him. She thinks, she called him her surrogate parent in her valedictorian speech. And Pastor Phil and Kelly, man, what an example they set for my kids. And I know that Pastor Steve and Carol, if I needed anything or my kids need anything, they would be there for them. And all of them actually would step in and take time out of their day to spend with us. You know, we talk about when Willie passed away, and I don't remember if I talked about this last time, but that was on a Sunday, and it was a hard day. But Pastor Phil, who had other things that he could have been doing, because Kevin was not here. Kira and I were at practice, and when we found out, and he was at the hospital, and Pastor Phil, I told him. And I know Pastor Steve would have, but he had to be here. But Pastor Phil said, I will go with you and tell your kids. So he helped me tell Kira. Then he went to my home and helped me tell my boys. And then when Kevin came home, he was there and let us cry on his shoulder. That is someone that I want to be like. And each one of them would have done that. If it's been Chad or Amanda or Carol, Steve or Kelly, any of them would have been there to do that. They would have held our hand, checked up on us. They did. Checked up on us to see how we were doing. These are great, great people. And I know you know, and I don't have to tell you, but they're wonderful, wonderful pastors. And I just am so blessed to have them in my life and in my family's life and at this church that I just want to make sure you guys realize how great they are as well. So thank you guys. Thank each and every one of you. So let's give them a hand.
Well, thank you to all of you, and thank you for our wonderful board and for our staff here. We just love each and every one of you, and it is a privilege to get to be here at this church. I just 29 years ago, and the Lord said, go to Noble. I didn't know how awesome it would be. And so there's been good times, and sometimes when I think, you know, as in any situation, oh, Lord, what are you doing here? You know, take me somewhere else. But overall, it's been good. I thank God for it. And so thank you. Thank you. Pastor Phil. Yeah.
Wow. 7 years. 7 years, October 1st, that Kelly and I have been here. And we love you. We love you, and we appreciate it. It's an honor to get to pastor you guys and to love on your kids and just to love on the community together. And anyway, thank you so much. We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
So this is my ninth year as being a part of this church, not all of it as a pastor. And I just want to echo everything that Michelle and Tim Short has said. Pastor Phil and Pastor Steve have been wonderful mentors to me, wonderful pastors, really kind of teaching me and guiding me from a kind of a hard-headed kid just out of college, making lots of mistakes along the way. And so, you know, I know that they appreciate you know, your confidence in them, and they love being here for you and being your pastors. So I'd just like to have another round of applause for our pastors.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I just can't let this moment go because there are three people that have stood with us this whole time of our whole ministry lives, and it's Cammie, K Kelsey and Caleb. As the teenagers get older, they realize the sacrifices that your family makes in the ministry, but yet they are the first ones that will support the parents in ministry. And I just, it's hard to be known as the PK, isn't it, Kelsey? But anyway, I just want to give that shout out because our kids have always been there to support us through the thick and thin, and it does not go unnoticed. And anyway, give a clap for all the PKs in the building.
Amen. We're going to wait upon you for our offering this morning, so if you ushers would come, and then we'll continue with worship. And Father God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to worship you in our giving, and we just thank you for this wonderful church. Bless both gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. There's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Oh, you are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Oh, say that name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You are the life to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Thank you.
There's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever known. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Give praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise this morning, God. We thank you, Lord. We choose to build our life on that name, on that person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, of all our worship, of all our praise. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no on you, Lord. Hallelujah. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you. There is no one like you. There is
beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Lead us, Lord, to those around us that we might show your love to them. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord praise. Let's magnify and bless and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are my shield. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. you found that to be true. The Lord is a very present help. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, oh God. Let me mention some needs to you. Rhoda McCarty is having her first Sunday in heaven today. She is with the Lord. She passed away on Monday evening, and so we're going to miss Rhoda. How many of you miss Rhoda? I mean, she just had that smile and that encouraging word. And I know as a pastor and all of us pastors, she would always encourage us. And so we want to remember her family in prayer. Rhoda as well. Rhoda's with the Lord. There will be a memorial service for her a week from Wednesday on November the 10th at 10 a.m. And we will be having a dinner for the family following. So you can talk to Joyce if you can help with that dinner. Help bring something. She'll be doing a sign-up sheet. I'm not sure if she started that yet or not because it's over a week away. But just keep them in your prayer. Rosalie Oliver was in the hospital for a day or so this week. She's home now. She's doing better, but just continue to pray for her. Tony Keller was also in the hospital and had some stents put in his heart. And so we want to pray for Tony that the Lord would touch him. And then Sister Boykin just can always use our prayers. So let's lift up Sister Boykin this morning as well. Father, we just come to you today. We just lift up the McCarty family. We pray for her brother and sister-in-law and all the family that will miss her and that will honor her. And we just thank you here today for her being a part of our church family, and we honor and we miss her as well. And we pray that you just give peace and comfort and strength to them. Lord, reach out and touch Rosalie Oliver today. I know she's probably watching via the internet. So Rosalie, we just pray for you this morning. We pray the Lord touch you and help you and heal you. The same for Tony this morning. We pray for you, Tony. We love you, and we pray that the Lord continue to touch you and heal you. And Sister Boykin, of course, we honor you and praise you today for who you are and your blessing to this church, helping start this church almost 36 years ago. We thank you, Sister Boykin, for your help. And Lord, just continue to touch her and to minister to her. And every need here today, we just lift up to you every family, every situation, Lord. Every person, Lord, today that's going through a struggle, Lord, I just pray that you would just relieve them of that burden and let them know that you are there, that you are helping them and lifting them and encouraging them. Father, as always, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray, God, that you would just bring revival to our nation again and that your will be done here in every church. And we just give you the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God.
Speed the Light has been bringing essential transportation to missionaries all around the world. This transportation has equipped our missionaries to reach millions of people who otherwise would never get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks to the giving of Assemblies of God teenagers, over $325 million has been given towards Speed the Light. Now in our 75th year, we believe it's time to think bigger, to think unconventionally. Speed the Light is partnering with organizations across the globe to not only bring missionaries the transportation and equipment they need, but to partner with them to further the ways they bring the gospel to the lost. Organizations like Convoy of Hope that brings hope and relief after the world's biggest disasters. Free International, who daily goes into cities like Las Vegas and fights human trafficking. Chi Alpha, that brings faith into college campuses during such a critical time of students' lives. And so many more ministries that are reaching people in unconventional ways. We are so thankful for the way God has used Speed the Light over the last 75 years to equip missionaries to do what God has called them to do. And we are so excited for these new unconventional ways God is bringing the gospel to people where they are. Whether that is a CrossFit gym in the Middle East, a cafe in Europe, a rural village in the Amazon, a college campus here in the U.S., or even the site of a natural disaster. We believe God is equipping us in unconventional ways to reach those who otherwise would never have the chance to hear. In what ways can you give and be a part of this unconventional movement? We can't do it alone. Help us speed the light to a world of darkness.
The last 75 years were amazing, and we know that together, the next 75 will be even greater.
Well, this morning I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about Speed the Light. This is Speed the Light Sunday, and we've been kind of sharing that this was on the calendar for the last couple of weeks. And sorry, my phone is not cooperating. All right, perfect. And so excited to share with you a little bit about that. How many of you have heard of Speed the Light? All right. Hands down. How many of you say Speed the Light? First time I've ever heard of it. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. A few? Awesome. Okay. All right. Speed the Light started about 75 years ago by a gentleman named Ralph Harris, who at the time was the head of the Assemblies of God Youth Ministry Department. And after being in prayer, asking for a way for the Assemblies of God students. When I say students, in this case, what I'm talking about is junior high and high school students. So these would be youth group age students. A way for them, he began to pray for a way for AG students to have an opportunity to help missionaries. How many of you know that young people who give to missions become adults who invest in missions? Amen? Amen? And today, where's Pastor? Pastor Chad's back there. Pastor Chad, I on Speed the Light Day, I am rocking my BGMC socks. So, BGMC, the Assemblies of God believes so strongly in missions. As a matter of fact, the Assemblies of God, really the foundation of our denomination is missions. We were a missions giving, missions sending, missions investing and believing in fellowship. That's what we are. So if you're a part of the Assemblies of God, that's in your DNA. And one of the things that we have done as the Assemblies of God is to create ways for every age and every demographic and gender to be able to give to missions. And so if you're with Pastor Chad, your kids are with Pastor Chad, they hear about BGMC. And boys and girls, they change the name. Is it Missionary Challenge now? It used to be Missionary Crusade. Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, which is their way of giving it to missions. And then some of us went and ate steak the other day, and we went to Light for the Lost, and that's the men's ministry arm of missions and giving. And women's, is it Life Rally? I'm not a woman, so Life Rallies. So they give through the Life Rallies and things. But it, for the youth, for the junior and high school students, this is the way that we, for 75 years, have challenged young people to give and invest in missions. The concept of Speed the Light is this: we give so others can spread the gospel and make Jesus known. Everybody say known. You're going to hear that theme a lot today. To make Jesus known throughout the world. And how do they do that? They do that specifically through Speed the Light by providing essential transportation and creative communication. Essential transportation and creative communication. A lot of people think that Speed the Light is only vehicles, that it's only cars and trucks and things like that. You're going to find out it's a little bit more than that. It's transportation, it's radio, it's television, it's being able to buy equipment to print evangelism and gospel presentation, audio and digital equipment. Well, I wanted to share with you a couple of things that we have become creative about in our creative communication. Here's three of them, that examples today that I want to tell you about. Number one is, how many know what an MP3 player is? Okay, all right. Oh, a certain demographic that raised their hand there. Okay, MP3 player is It's an audio device that you can put an audio file on that is portable so that people can listen and hear. So one of the things that Speed the Light money is used is to buy MP3 players that are loaded with Bible stories. And in this case, they're partnered with a missionary who loaded these Bible stories in the language for these remote villages in Ecuador. And so once again, everything that Speed the Light does is about evangelism, telling people about Jesus in an active way. they load Bibles onto tablets, you know, a Kindle or an iPad type of tablet. They load the Bible onto tablets because then they don't look like books. They just look like an iPad or a Kindle, right? And they bring those into the Middle East where Christians and those who are trying to present the gospel may have hardship created if they were to bring a print Bible in, but carrying an iPad or a Kindle with the entire Bible loaded on it makes a way for them to tell people about Jesus. Speed the Light money is used for that. Speed the Light money is used for SD cards. Those are the little memory cards you put in. And they load those with evangelism materials so that those can be taken into sensitive countries. In some countries, they can't just ship big books of, you know, like you and I would use for Sunday school that would have active and open curriculum that anybody could read. But instead, the evangelism, the gospel is quote unquote really smuggled in the sensitive countries where the gospel is not welcome on little SD cards that can be plugged into any device and brought up so that they can be presented no matter where the missionary may be in the country that they're in and doing it in a safe way. Essential transportation, how many of you have thought cars? Come on. But that's cars and there's lots of them, but it's also donkeys and horses and motorcycles and semi-trucks, and any other kind of bicycles, and scooters, anything that you can put a missionary on that can get them where they need to be so they can tell somebody about Jesus. Come on now. The current needs today, the current needs for Speed the Light is approximately $13 million. $13 million worth of missionary needs of vehicles and other things that missionaries have applied to Speed the Light. That's what they have to do. When you're a missionary, you apply and you say, hey, I have a car and it's, you know, so many years old and could you help me to get a new van so that I could load people up, load children to bring them to our outreaches or to I need a motorcycle to get up into the far reaches of a remote village, or I need whatever, fill in the blank. Right now there's $13 million worth of needs that Speed the Light is trying to meet. What I'd like to do is this. If you'd be interested, I've got my young people here. They're going to hand out really quick a little Speed the Light book. And if you'd like one, I've only got about 50. So if it's like a couple, maybe you could share. Married couples could share. But my youth are going to hand out these books because they share with you a little bit about the statistics about Speed the Light. And I'm going to read you a few of them because I thought this was sometimes you get pamphlets and they're not great. These were tremendous. And so we invested some money to buy these so that you could know a bit more about Speed the Light and what's happening. If you want, when you get it, if you'll turn in the book, right in the middle is a thing called Speed the Light Stats. And it's the stats from 1944 when Speed the Light began to 2020. So it's up to last year through the COVID year. And I thought it would be interesting for you to see the stats of what has been purchased with money that young people, like the ones we have in this sanctuary today, have given to Speed the Light and what has been purchased. 9,091 missionary vehicles, 60 Convoy of Hope disaster response vehicles, many of those being semi-trucks. I mean, how cool is that? 492 Teen Challenge vehicle grants. Our Teen Challenges are our recovery programs that we have around the country. 1,485 total field and ministry vehicles. That would be vehicles that maybe they would use, not the personal vehicle the missionary would drive, but a vehicle they're going to use to get the ministry done. 33 airplanes. Come on now. I like to think that my dollars went to an airplane. Pastor, I'm part owner of an airplane. You just didn't know it. I'm big stuff. 148 Youth Alive or 7 Project. Youth Alive or 7 Project is projects they do in high schools. And equipment packages that would probably be media like screens and projectors and sound systems to project the gospel. 192 water wells, drilled, rig, and support vehicles. 44 businesses as missions projects in sensitive countries. They'll sometimes set up businesses that are legitimate within countries to be able to work out of and to also minister out of. 1,169 motorcycles, 132 trailers, 125 animals, 233 boats, over 4,000 bicycles, a lot of bicycles. We haven't caught up yet with the Mormons, but we got 4,000. All right. 205 public transit funds, 638 media packages. That's probably, like I said, screens and stuff again. 2,323 sound systems, over 1,500 video projectors, 26,000 tablets. Talked about putting the Bible on those. 204 generators and 1,400 printers, TVs, duplicators. 1,315 new church grants. But here's what I want you to focus on. If you've got this pamphlet or this book, I'm going to read you the center statement, because this is the thing that it really hits home for me today. And if you don't, just listen to what I'm about to read. If every Assemblies of God church in the U.S., if every AG church in the U.S. gave a special offering of just $1,000 to Speed the Light, we would have $13 million to fund every current missionary need. If every AG church simply gave $1,000 in a special offering, and we're going to take an offering at the end of this service today, every missionary need, all 13 million, would be taken care of. I can tell you, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute, our own youth group has pledged way over that, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. I've spent 20 years encouraging, enabling, and teaching young people to give to Speed the Light. This has been a consistent theme within youth ministry for me. We have purchased sound systems, motorcycles, cars, and we even one time specifically, because we thought it would be cool, they used to let you designate your money, and we designated it to a donkey. We wanted to buy a donkey. We have... I've seen kids mow lawns. This is a short list. They've done a lot of things, but I've seen kids mow lawns, wash windows, babysit, paint a house, clean out a 3-acre rural cemetery. I was there for that and almost died, Pastor. I'm not kidding. It's the closest. I may have actually had heat stroke. It was bad. We were underpaid. Clean out a 3-acre rural cemetery. Looks like somebody hadn't been there in forever. Work odd jobs, wash cars, and even sell their cars to raise money for Speed the Light. I've seen young people do a tremendous amount of things to make it able for missionaries to have what they need. I'm going to take just a moment here and have one of our own youth, Paige Idale. She's going to share with you a couple of things that she's worked on the last couple of years to help raise money for Speed the Light.
Hi, my name's Paige, and I just want to share with you a quick, just for a few minutes, some of the unconventional ways that I raise money for Speed the Light. Let's go back to April of 2020. The world was shut down, and we were all in our homes. We didn't know what the future had in store. And for a lot of people, they began to lose hope. But for me, it was a little bit different. For the first time in my life, it was quiet. There was peace in the middle of the storm. And I could hear God telling me that I needed to give in ways that I never had given before. So I came up with the idea of light and darkness jewelry. I would sell jewelry for $10 a piece, and all the proceeds would go to Speed the Light. And I launched it in May of 2020. And in the first 3 months, I raised $150. And I thought it was just going to grow from there. But then it stopped. I stopped getting traffic. Nobody was interested in what I had to say, and I started to lose hope. Then I realized, what if this is not what God had in mind? Maybe there's something else that I am more passionate about that I can use to raise money for Speed the Light. So I began to pray, and over the last few months of 2020, I was still waiting for God to reveal what can I do. Then I remembered something that I loved doing growing up, baking. but specifically decorating cookies and cupcakes. It combined two of my greatest loves for art and baking. So I decided at the beginning of 2021 that I was going to set goals that bigger than I had ever set before. And so I started selling decorated sugar cookies and cupcakes for Valentine's Day, and then I did it for Easter, and then for Mother's Day. In those 3 weekends alone, I raised $300 for Speed the Light. And I'm not done. See, it's amazing what God can do when you just listen to his calling and use the gifts he has given you to raise money in unconventional ways. Thank you.
Come on, Paige. I should have just had her preach. Forget me. Who wants to hear Pastor Phil? Well, you're crying like a baby. Okay, it's fine. It's allergies, all right? How many of you know it's okay? It's okay for your heart to be touched and be emotional when you see young people who begin to grasp the heart of Jesus. Amen? Come on. Come on. We can give a bigger hand than that. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. 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 And so we continue to promote and teach the importance of missions. The kids will tell you that I will tell them that missions is the heartbeat of God. They've heard me say it a million times. And last year, I don't know if you may have already heard this before, but I'll tell you again. Last year, we were presented this plaque by our district. We, as a youth group, gave $4,323 to Speed the Light, which placed us out of 480 churches in our state, ninth. So let's give a hand to our youth. Awesome. Awesome. Yes. And so when it came around time, we decided that we were going to try our very best to raise $5,000. We were so close last year, and we said, we're going to make it this year. And I believe we are somewhere around 2,700 or 2,800. And so we're well on our way and still have some other projects before the end of the year. And but this morning, I want to share with you a quick message called The Heart of Speed the Light. The heart of Speed the Light. Well, the heartbeat of Speed the Light, as I've already told you, is this, is evangelism. Everything that Speed the Light does, supports, promotes, enables young people to do is all about evangelism. It's about speeding the light. And the light, of course, is the gospel. Is taking the gospel to the far reaches of the earth as fast as can be. Now, how many of you drive like that? You speed everywhere you go. Come on. Come on. All right. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. All right. The heartbeat of the heart of Speed the Light is evangelism, and it's to make Jesus known, to make Jesus known across America and around the world. We want people to know who Jesus is. I had a young man who he decided he was going to do a walk-a-thon. How many of you guys ever done these a-thons? You know, like there's a rock-a-thon, there's a shoot-a-thon, there's a run-a-thon. This was a walk-a-thon. And so he started getting pledges. He started getting some pledges. He said, I'm going to just walk. I'm just going to walk, and I'm going to walk. And for every, you know, and I don't remember, he said so many miles or whatever. And so he got people that said, Pastor, will you pledge so much per mile, and I'm just going to walk. And I thought, well, that'd be good. But the success lied in this. Here was his slogan for the walk-a-thon. His slogan was, I'm going to walk so no missionary ever has to. I'm going to walk so no missionary ever has to. And this was a junior high student that I had in one of my youth ministries. And he didn't have a car, and he didn't have a job. He didn't have all these things. But he said, I'm going to find a way. And how many of you know that there's something... There's something about a heart issue when you begin to set aside yourself and begin to say, God, what can I do? And we're going to talk about that some more. But what can I do to help our missionaries to do what you've called them to do? So there's a heart. There's three hearts I want to talk about today. First one's this, a heart with vision. A heart with vision. I often describe it this way. See the need, meet the need. See the need, meet the need. And what does the world so desperately need? Jesus. Jesus. I mean, we could stay here all day and debate about, well, the world, you know, what we need today in America is, you know, better tax law. You know, we need better, you know, governance of this or that. We could discuss all those issues. But at the core of everything we're going through, is the fact that people need Jesus. So we see the need. So now we've got to have a heart with vision. Now that we see the need, we've got to meet it. We've got to meet the need. I love it. In John 3, 16 and 17, everybody knows this passage. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know what God did? He saw the need, and then he met the need. God saw the need, and then he met the need by sending his son. Giving to missions, honestly, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And it must be driven by our vision of the need that all know Jesus. That's what it's really all about. Speed the Light says, we want Jesus to be known by the entire world. There's truth. There's three truths about vision. Number one is this. Vision is we must act before it's too late. We must act before it's too late. You ever seen something and you saw, and then by the time you talked yourself into doing something about it, it was too late? You're like, oh man, I missed that opportunity. But God, I'll be ready next time. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, we've all missed. I've done it. I'm raising my hand today. I've missed some opportunities. Opportunities to pray with people. Opportunities to give to people. Opportunities to comfort people. Opportunities to call. I got too busy. Opportunities to whatever it may be. Sometimes we see the need, but we miss the need. We don't meet it. I was at the OU game yesterday. The most relaxed I'd been all year. We let the defense into the stadium this week, so it was unbelievable. The offense didn't just come, the whole defense came too. And I was sitting there though, and I was watching the game. Pastor, you ever be doing something and you're like, this is what you're doing, and then all of a sudden it just takes a right turn, and you're like, you know, I guess that's a right turn. It takes a right turn, it's a left turn, that's a right turn. And I was standing there, I mean, just in the midst of all these people, everybody was standing up and we were cheering and there was a kind of a break in the action. And it was like everything stopped around me as far as like I wasn't paying attention to anything. And I began to see the crowd, not as one big crowd, but as singular people. Just individual people, as independent of one another. Moving around, people moving up the aisles and down the aisles and setting down and standing up. And it's the band was moving, I think it was close to halftime. They were moving to the field and there was people moving down the ramps. But it was just like everything was going in slow motion. I could see everybody moving singularly. And in that moment, the Lord was illuminated to me. And he goes, every one of those is a soul. Every one of those people I love. Every one of those people, I want them to know me in an intimate way. I began to think, man, this would be so cool right now. Would they just take a break and let me just preach it? You know, let's stop the band. I'm going to the middle of the field. We're going to talk about Jesus for a minute. All right? But it was each one of them has a story. And then he said, and all of them, are living on unknown time. Some of them, it's the last football game they'll ever be at. Some of them, I can't guarantee that everybody was in a stance today is still alive right now. I just thought to myself, the need for people to know Jesus has never been greater. Amen? We gotta have a heart with vision. when we got to act before it's too late. The problem, the second truth of vision is this, is the problem is not too big for the solution. What does the scripture say? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So even though as I'm looking at this huge crowd and I'm imagining like what it would be like, Pastor, for you and I to like, man, we're just going to, listen, we're going Billy Graham style on them, all right? We're going to like tell them about Jesus, all right? Listen, none of y'all are stressed out. OU's winning big time. Focus in here for a minute. We need to tell you something, all right? I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about how cool it would be if all of those people were in church today. Because what we've got to share with them is of an eternal significance compared to what they were listening and watching yesterday. And you know I love OU, but that it pales in comparison. I thought to myself, though, this is huge. These people, they're living on unknown time. They're all souls. They're not one big crowd. They're Jesus just sees them as each one of them as individuals. They each have their own story, just like you have your own story here today. Amanda, I felt like the weight of that a little bit. It was weighty looking at all these people. And yet, the thing is that the problem, the weight of that is not too big for the solution, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. A heart with a vision, knowing that we see the need, but that the need's not so big that God can't meet it. I happen to believe that Jesus not only died for us all, but that it's capable for all to come to him if they were to choose to. And thirdly, the third truth of vision is this: it should always be too personal. People are dying and going to hell all around us and around the world. Today, while I'm up here sharing with you about Speed the Light, and we're talking about missions, and we're going to take an offering, and we're going to honor the Lord in that way, even in the midst of all that, right now, around this world, people are dying having not known Jesus in the way that we really wish they would. It's got to be too personal. May they not take their last breath before they have an opportunity to know Jesus. The second one is this: a heart of vision, but there's also a heart of sacrifice. We must follow the example of Jesus when he chose others over himself. You see, Jesus not only saw the need, but he gave his son to meet it, his only son. He sacrificed his only son. I had a young man, we every year we go to these things called, they change the names of them, it's Speed the Light rallies or Speed the Light conventions or whatever it is. It's just, it's a service where they'll have praise and worship, they'll have a challenging message, and the young people, youth groups meet together and they make faith promises, just like we do on Mission Sunday. They make a faith promise and say, with God's help, I'm going to try to give or raise or, you know, this much money this year to Speed the Light. And I had a young man who he told me, he said, you know, well, let me first say this, is a lot of times those services are very emotional, and you know, the Lord's really speaking to kids, and they make these huge promises, you know. I'm going to talk my parents into selling the house, and and I'm not going to eat for 3 months. But they make these huge promises. And so I had a young man who made a pledge of like $3,000. It was close to $3,000. Best time I can remember. I remember it was somewhere around $3,000. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? He goes, I have no idea. I have no idea how I'm going to do $3,000. But I just know that's what the Lord has asked me to do. And so a couple months went by. A couple months went by, and he came to youth service, and he came up to me and said, Pastor Phil, I got it. I figured out how I'm gonna give the $3,000. The Lord told me what I'm supposed to do. I said, okay. I said, well, what is it? He says, you know, I've been working my job, and he said, I'm saving up to buy a car. And he says, I've got I've got $3,000 in the bank. And he goes, the Lord told me I'm supposed to give that $3,000 to Speed the Light. And I said, wow, man. I said, you've been working on that for a while. He said, I know. But he said, I just know that's what I'm supposed to do. He goes, why would I write down $3,000 and then it just became apparent that I just now have gotten to the 3,000 mark. It's not a coincidence, Pastor Phil. I'm supposed to give that $3,000. So sure enough, he gave the $3,000 to Speed the Light. And it was several months later. He got his license. He didn't have a car. And it was a few months later. And if I remember the story right, the premise or the end of the story is the important part. But I believe that his parents have been talking to and sharing with a relative, a distant relative, about what their son had done. And ultimately what ended up happening was that this relative said, you know what? We just got a new car. I was going to sell the one we had. I think we'd like to just give it to your son. The car was worth $6,000. And God doubled the sacrifice. Are you with me today? Amen. If your loved one was about to lose their life, what would you give to save it? If your loved one was about to lose their life, what would you give to save it? Because somebody's loved one today is on the verge of death, on the verge of dying without knowing Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. How much is it worth? I want to tell you a little personal story today. Most of you know Lily's story. I can remember being in the hospital with Lily, and early on they were doing all kinds of stuff. And I just remember that she needed multiple types of blood, platelets and plasma and stuff I didn't even understand all completely. And she was needing blood transfusion and all of that. And I asked, I said, well, can I give blood? You know, so she, you know, and they said, no, because it takes time. You have to test it and you have to do this thing and you got to make sure you're a match and it won't be time. There's not time for you to do that. And, you're just trying to do anything for your child. And I remember that, you know, they had the platelets, they had They gave her the blood transfusion, and of course you saw her today up here with me, causing distraction as usual. And I to this day, what is not lost to me is this: someone had to give that blood. Someone had to give what I couldn't give myself to save my daughter. Are you with me today? There wasn't time for them to test my blood. There wasn't time for them to make a match. There wasn't time for me to be able to give what my daughter needed. But somebody else was willing to do it. Missions takes a heart of sacrifice, being willing to say, I may not know where this, I don't know, the, I may not know the people this is going to reach. I may not know the full impact of my money, but I know this, I'm willing to give to reach somebody else. I'm willing to give to save somebody else's son or daughter. I'm willing to give to save somebody else's mom or dad. I'm willing to give simply because missions requires a heart of sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Whoever reaps sparingly will reap sparingly. Our church gives abundantly to missions. I believe it is the secret, if there was a secret, to our success. And I believe that only heaven will tell the stories of the lives changed, saved, and renewed because of the faithfulness of this church body to missions. We will never know this side of heaven, Pastor, how many people have been come to know the Lord because we have been faithful to support missionaries 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. We have people we've supported more than 20 years, correct, Pastor? The heart of sacrifice says, I give not because I have it in my resources to give, but I give because I have it in my purpose to do so. It's part of our purpose. Will we sacrifice of what we have so that we make sure that others have Jesus? And lastly, a heart of vision, a heart of sacrifice, and then a heart of opportunity. Watch this video.
Water is life. Having clean drinking water is something that most of us in the United States take for granted. At the turn of a faucet, you can rinse your dishes, take a shower, and make a refreshing glass of iced tea. But imagine life without clean water, where you have to travel hours on foot in the hot sun just to find a muddy trench filled with stagnant rainwater. Insects have laid their eggs in it. Your livestock drink from it. It is diseased with animal feces and urine. But it's the best you got to bring home to your children and family. Water determines quality of life. Water is essential. Water is life. And water is the vehicle which the gospel is being spread in Africa. Over the next few years, Speed the Light has made the commitment to spread the gospel through unconventional means. We are bringing physical water along with the living water of Jesus Christ to completely transform these desperate villages in Africa. Your Speed the Light money will make it possible for WorldServe to strategically dig wells just like this one next to churches. These churches then become powerful oasis centers in which water provides sanitation, restores dignity, and changes lives for all eternity. Will you help? Speed the Light is calling you, along with thousands of students across America, to end the water crisis in Africa once and for all, bringing the gospel to the most remote places so that every person may find life in Jesus Christ.
Water, basic need. All of you turned on your faucets today and got some. Most of you, I hope, took a shower. You watched Pastor and I. We drink water every time we lead worship or preach or whatever. Many of you have. I see 3-4 bottles of water from right here. Have you ever been without it? One time in my life, I was without water. One time. I was on a missions trip to Mexico, and the missionary's well, the pump, broke. And thankfully, they had a little bit of water they had set aside in a jug, but other than that, there was no water to be had. For a moment there, you're starting to think, this is not good. This is not good. Water, I love what the video said. Water determines quality of life. Just something as simple as this determines a quality of life. Could you imagine life without a shower or a bath, a life without clean drinking water, a life without water for your coffee? Some of y'all just fell over, all right? Water without, no water for your ramen, Darren. Darren would waste away if he didn't eat his ramen. Here's what the video says. It says water determines the quality of life. Water is essential. Water is life. Water is the vehicle through which the gospel is being spread through Africa. Let's go back to what I said earlier. See the need. Meet the need. You go, oh, so, you know, that's cool. So they're digging wells so people can have water. Now listen to this. They're bringing the physical water alongside the living water of Jesus Christ. Did you notice where they build the wells at? Where do they build the well at? Right next to the church. Right next to the church. Now listen, there's something about the subconscious, the idea that this is the place where life springs out of. This is the place that is the difference between life or death for my kids. This is the difference between life or death for me. And while they may initially come for this, and although we may spend speed the light funds so that they can drill wells, and they're doing it, they're actively doing it even now, drilling wells in Africa and other parts of the world to bring water, the truth is that they come for a drink, and our prayer is that they leave with salvation. John 4:13 and 14 says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Come on. How many of you drank a bottle of water and you're like, I'm still thirsty? But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Come on now. Our hearts should be asking us this. I'm about to close. And I asked Don if he would come up. Our hearts should be asking this. How can I contribute? What's my part? That's what we should be asking ourselves today. When I was interning in Michigan, I'd never seen, in some states they collect a deposit on cans and bottles. How many of you guys ever lived in a state where that happened? Okay. Yeah, in Michigan they did that. And I remember, forget the first time I first of all got charged a deposit for a 12-pack of soda. I thought, this is crazy. But then outside there in the little lobby or the front part of the grocery store is where you bring those cans back, the bottles back, to get your money back. And I thought, this is like, you could make some money here. Actually, you know what I thought? I'm going to just be completely transparent. I thought, if I'm going to be homeless, I'm going to be homeless, right? I'm going to be homeless in Michigan where I can make money off of cans. So you can recycle cans in Michigan and turn aluminum into cash. And I just thought, man, that is so crazy. What I ask you today is, how do we turn our talents and our finances into eternal currency? We could put all the money we own right now in a pile and burn it, and it would just like this. We could spend it this quick on one of those cars that my boys are always looking at. All the money we got probably ain't going to pay for one of those. Those fancy, fancy ones I can't ever pronounce. But what we're going to buy, when I say buy, what we're going to purchase, we're going to be able to do with the money that we give through Speed the Light, is going to be eternal. Salvation is free, based on our free will. God gave it to us, but spreading the gospel is not. It takes vehicles, it takes things. Every man and woman on earth should have a choice whether to live for Jesus or not, to know they have a choice. Our job is to make sure that Jesus is known, that every person on earth has a clear presentation of the gospel. So, I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning to give so that others may know what Jesus gave for them. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, your word says that the water that you give us will never thirst again. Lord, your word says that we should give with a sacrificial heart. Your word says that you would give us vision, that we would see the need. God, may we now meet it. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you this morning that just for these last few moments, we've caught the vision to Speed the Light, that we've been challenged towards giving to missions. And may, Lord, we honor you with all of our efforts, that people would know you in a greater way. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask, we have some ushers that are going to stand out here. These are my young people, some good-looking kids. I'll go uncle, I like their dad. Yeah. If you give, would you label the envelope Speed the Light so that we know that you're giving to Speed the Light? And I'm going to ask Pastor if you would pray over the Speed the Light offering, okay?
Lord God, we just thank you today for this opportunity we have to help our youth to reach this $5,000 goal, Lord. And I just thank you that we can come alongside them and show our support for that honorable and wonderful endeavor so that others can know you and so that Speed the Light can truly be a blessing to so many that are lost in the dark. We just give you praise, Lord, today. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through the fire. Heal all my disease. I trust in you. I trust in you. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. We pray that you would just meet every need, touch every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.